You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our study here in the book of Judges. We've got all the way to chapter 2, about verse 12, where it says, "The children of Israel, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked Yahuwah to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." How many of you have bowed yourself in the last week to Ashtaroth? Ah, yes, Ashtaroth. How many of you went to church on Ashtaroth Sunday? And, I'm sure that they Christianized it. And how many of you bought for your children candy in baskets, colored eggs and chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs and things like that? How many of you celebrated, the fertility goddess Ashtaroth, also called Easter today? How many? Spring. Ah, what a wonderful time of year. Everything is reproducing in the spring. All things become new and spring to life in the spring. Oh, Ashtaroth, Ashtaroth. Is that what's going on here? And how many of you had a sunrise service? Yes, the sun rising, worshiping the goddess Ashtaroth, the matrix from where all things come. Yes, the matrix, the womb of the woman, the goddess worship. How many of you took part in that? How many of you were bribed as children with candy and baskets into serving a false god, into allowing the pollution of idol into your life? And then you think, oh, well, I enjoyed it when I was a child. Well, yeah, what child doesn't enjoy baskets full of candy? Come on, you're being bribed into idolatry. And it's the same thing with Christmas, the Babylonian pagan Christ's death celebration. It's the same thing. You're being bribed with gifts and candy. And of course, Halloween, the same thing. They love to bribe the children with candy and gifts into their idolatry, into the pagan idolatry, into the pollutions of idols. And that way they just accept, oh, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, they may even make a law where if you don't allow your children to participate in these things, it could be considered child abuse. You have to prove, oh, I'm a good parent. Oh, we celebrated Christmas and Easter and Halloween. Why to deprive your children of the candy and gifts and all of these things? Oh, no, they're so much fun. How could you deprive your children of that? After all, I got all these things when I was a child. So that we just carry on these stupid traditions, not understanding, not caring. Yeah. No, God don't care. I'm not under the law. God doesn't care. God wouldn't want my children deprived of, you know, chocolate bunnies and baskets. And how about the Easter egg hunt on the, you know, we got to watch that every year on the TV. The Easter egg hunt on the, they have the, on the lawn of the White House. Yes. Let's bring the idolatry right into the top of the government. They forsook Yahuwah. They forsook the God of their fathers and served, Judges chapter 2, verse 13, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. That's it. You know, the parallels are just astounding. Easter? Come on. The only place Easter is mentioned once in the scripture, and it's not mentioned as a Christian holiday. It's mentioned as a pagan holiday. That's right. And it was mentioned as around the time Passover. Actually, it was mentioned as during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, that's right. That's the way it happened this year during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had Easter Sunday. So they forsook And how many of us are guilty? How many of us are willing to throw it off? Most of us won't. Most of you won't. Because, you know, what would your family think if you show up next Easter, next Ashtaroth Sunday, and you say, can't do baskets? You know what? Last Sunday, when the world was celebrating Ashtaroth with eggs and bunnies and little baskets and chocolate eggs and candy and jelly beans and all of those things, you know what we did at my house? None of that. Yeah, and I have children. We did none of that here. As a matter of fact, the word Easter was not even mentioned on that day. I did recognize Passover and Passover, though we didn't sacrifice a lamb, you know, but I might do that some year. I would rather do that because there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's the celebration, the Passover. That's the celebration of when the angel of death passed over the children of Israel, a notable miracle, and all the firstborn of Egypt were slain from all cattle. From the firstborn of the king of Egypt, from the Pharaoh to the least, to the servant, to all their cattle, to everything that was firstborn of the males was slain in Egypt. Was it just the males? No. And that's why he said to the children of Israel, all the firstborn of mine, they're all dedicated to me because I saved their lives. I passed over. And that's, you know, that's what we should be observing if we call him. If we call ourselves his people, if we are called by his name, the people of Yahuwah, yeah, if we're called by his name, if we call ourselves his people, you know, in the scripture, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation, and it says, beware of them who call themselves Jews, but are not. You know, that's a funny rendering, and that's a mistaken rendering too. And I've thought about that, and I've looked into it. And here's what I came up with. If I were translating that into Hebrew, it would say something like this. Beware, if I were to translate it into Hebrew and directly from the Hebrew into English, it would say something like this. Beware of them who call themselves the people of God, but are not. That's really what it says. That's really what the message is, because the book of Revelation was not written to the Jews. It was written to the people of God, the people of our Creator. That's right. It was written to them, and it was a beware of people who call themselves the people of God, but are not. Now that makes a little more sense, doesn't it? But we're getting far afield of our, but they're the ones who bring in a lot of this idolatry, all of this evangelicalism that's overtaken the church, where you have a church that embraces and brings the world in rather than separates from the world and becomes a light. Now they don't become a light to the world. They go, we are the world. Look, we're celebrating Ashtaroth. Bring your little baskets to church. You know, and they have the eggs and the baskets, and then for an excuse, they call it the day that Christ rose from the dead, as if somehow fertility and goddess worship is responsible for Christ rising from the dead. So we're going to bring Ashtaroth in it, and we're going to call it Ashtaroth or Easter Sunday. And some now call it Resurrection Sunday or whatever. But, you know, I say, well, you could, that's fine. You can celebrate the resurrection any day you want. But leave Ashtaroth out of it, leave Easter out of it, leave the eggs and the bunnies out of it. And let's celebrate the resurrection every day. And if we're going to have feast days, why don't we do his feast days? Why don't we keep his calendar instead of all these pagan things that were brought in by those who call themselves the people of God, but are not? Beware of them. And so we have here in Judges, it's recorded for us that the children of Israel, the people of God on earth, the people called by his name, are allowing now all of the pollutions of idols to come into the congregation. They allow them to stay there, and they start to embrace them. They start to visit them and start to marry with them and so forth, and it goes on and on. But let's continue. Let's jump back in here. In verse 14 of Judges chapter 2, And the anger of Yahuwah, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And that's what happens. You allow your enemies to come in and they plot against you. You know why? Because they're not godly. They're not honest. They may pretend that they're all about goodness, like CPS today and all the government out there. Oh, it's all for the good of the people. But they're your enemies. They're plotting against you because they serve other gods. They don't serve the truth. They serve the father of lies. They worship the dragon. That's what the scripture says. Same thing here in the land of Israel, in the promised land, where they allowed those that worship the dragon to stay in there with all of their idolatries and pollute their congregations and their families and their people. So they plotted against them while they pretended to be their friends. That's what those who worship the dragon do. You may think, we can give a little. We can compromise a little just to be at peace, but while they're plotting your destruction, because they do not love their neighbor as themselves. They do not do unto others as you would, they do not embrace the law of our Heavenly Father. Their law says, take whatever you can. Use whatever device you can to spoil your neighbor. Get whatever you can for yourself because, you know, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. Yes, that's right. We just go to the grave and that's it because we don't want to serve a God. We don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. We live without faith so that all we have is whatever we can get in this life, even if we have to take it from others. That's the way they live. You can never trust those that worship the dragon, that do not follow the commandments, that do not embrace the commandments of our Heavenly Father and desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him, because they have not been redeemed. Neither do they seek to be redeemed. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Yahuwah was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves down unto them. You know, that's like me sitting here telling you, cut it off. Cut off the Ashtaroth. Cut off the Christ's death. Cut off all of these pollutions of idols. Cut it all off. Stop taking the benefits of the world system. Start looking to our Heavenly Father for His benefits. Cut off the social security numbers. Cut off the insurance. Cut off all these things that are against His law and turn to Him. But the people wouldn't listen. And the people do not listen. Very few will listen. Very few love the truth. Very few. They have their excuse. What have they embraced in the corporate church? We're not under the law. We're under the grace. So what? We can sin? So we can ignore God's law? We can practice idolatry? We don't have to keep His feast days, but let's keep these other pagan feast days instead. You know, somehow that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Huh? Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense at all? We're free from God's law so we can practice idolatry? That makes sense to you? I think the Heavenly Father says the same thing to you that He said to the children of Israel that's recorded in Judges. He says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges. So there were godly men going, hey, cast down the idols, come out of them, throw them off, conquer them, drive them out. But they would not hearken. And they went a-whoring after the other gods and bowed themselves unto them and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahuwah. And they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges. Then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of Yahuwah, the anger of the Lord, was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of Yahuwah to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. What will you do? Here, we have the pagans all around us. We have their idolatry all around us. We have the pollutions of idols in the corporate church. We have the benefits of the world supplanting the benefits of our Heavenly Father. We have promises from the world that seem greater because they satisfy now. They take care of our fears. Oh, what am I going to do when I get 65? Who's going to take care of me? God can't do it. We can't trust God to take care of us. Oh, great government. Oh, great government. Uncle Sam, identify me as one of yours. I will fill out the form for benefits. Give me a number. I will be one of yours and I will serve you. That's right. And anytime you say jump, I'll say how high. You say fill out the form, master, and I will report everything to you. Because a slave reports to his master when the master says report. How many of you are preparing your 1040 inquisition forms for your master right now as I speak? How many of you are rushing down before midnight on April Fool's Day? It's not April 1st, it's April 15th in the land where I live. How many of you are rushing down there to report to your master on your 1040 inquisition form? Master, master, I'm reporting. Master always reports to his slave. I report to my Heavenly Father. When his Holy Spirit convicts me, I repent. And I say, please, Heavenly Father, write your law upon my heart. You know, the masters of this world and the masters of this mortal existence, they have nothing. Sure, they'll give you $400, $500, $600 a month when you turn 65 till the day you die. That's your retirement. That's your reward. But our Heavenly Father has a reward that never ends. What kind of reward is that the world gives you? You're 65. You're wore out. They've thoroughly destroyed your health the best they can. You served idols all your life. And all you put money, mammon, ahead of everything else. Otherwise, you just bought into the whole thing. And you get old, and then you're going to die in a few years because now you're retired. You got nothing to do, and you're tired, and your body's wore out. What kind of deal is that? You know, I like my Heavenly Father's retirement plan better. I will serve Him until the day I die. Oh, yes, I will serve because of my diminished physical capacity as I get older. I will serve Him less, in a less capacity, at least physically. But He understands that. And He says He'll take care of me. He says, seek first my kingdom, not seek first your retirement. And who's going to give you money when you get old? And He said, seek first my kingdom, and I will provide everything that you need. And then He says, when I retire you, if you endure in my kingdom to the end of your mortal existence, I have a reward that will never end. And guess what? Your retirement will not be in a decrepit body for a few years that you have left. I will give you a new body, He says. That's His promise. You will raise from the dead like Yahshua did and showed Himself to thousands. You will have a body that will never get sick. It will never get crippled, and if you were crippled or you were sick or you had diminished capacity, you will be restored to the state for which He created mankind. And that is beyond what anybody is experiencing today. perhaps the only man that really ever experienced that was Adam and Eve. Could you imagine a man having using 100% of his brain capacity, having total recall, having that kind of power, power unexplored? And better than that, he promises more than most men can imagine. His retirement plan, that's the one that I've signed up for. So I will listen to his Holy Spirit, and I will confess my sins to him. And all these other gods out here, not my master. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave, where I have freedom to practice my religion, at least by their law. And we'll see, I will do that as much as I can. And that means throwing off all of the voluntary things that I volunteered into at one time and repenting of all of those things that are against the law of my Heavenly Father and coming out of his world system. Because here it is. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he says, I'm going to not drive out these idolaters among you that I may prove Israel. He's proving us now on an individual basis. When he proves you, what does he find? That's the question. Each one of us individually are going to stand before him. And we stand before him now. And if we don't acknowledge him now, we will acknowledge him later. Don't ever doubt it. We'll be back in a few minutes.